The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
I watched the match yesterday, Arsenal Man City. Yeah, I mean, what can you say? I don't think they were awful.
No.
Apart from in the last half an hour when I just felt it all fell apart a little bit and they looked desperate. And then there was that incident between Erling Haaland and Gabriel when they butted heads, almost resulting in yellow cards all around. What did you make of it?
I think the most frustrating thing is that Arsenal played well yesterday afternoon and they really brought the game to Manchester City in a way that they could not bring the game to Bournemouth in front of their home fans 8 days previous. And those are the sorts of fixtures that are the reason why Arsenal are not going to win this Premier League title. It is at home to Bournemouth, at home to Manchester United a few months ago at this point, springs to mind as well. Not really going for it against Liverpool in either fixture this year. The Premier League title was not lost yesterday. Manchester City are an outstanding team.
I think that's fair. I think that's really fair.
But
yeah.
It's the exact same team. It's the same manager. They are all culpable for what has happened over the past few months. I'm not necessarily sure there's going to be as good a chance next season for this Arsenal team. I think Manchester City may actually be stronger in a 38-game spell next season. I think the business they've done in January this year has been exceptional. Mark Guay and Antoine Semenyo coming into the team have been brilliant. And then you got the likes of Rayan Cherki and Nico O'Reilly, who've been around a little bit longer and have had an excellent second half of the season. So I think this Manchester City team are actually going to start next year as title favourites. And I think that will really rub salt in the wounds of this Arsenal group, that this was their chance and they blew it. They absolutely blew it last week and in the weeks prior to it. Did they blow it yesterday? I think you can be forgiven for not winning a game, for losing a game, in fact, at the Etihad. It's everything that led up to this moment.
Well, there could be another twist in the tale yet.
I'd be very surprised if there was a twist that went in Arsenal's favour at this point, especially given they'll have a couple of big midweek fixtures against Atletico Madrid, and they are clearly the inferior team when it comes to the mentality of going after a Premier League title. It's been 22 years at this point. If you actually cast your mind back to how Manchester City won their first title, they kind of fell over the line as well. The last gasp Sergio Aguero goal against Queen's Park Rangers, they won it in very dramatic fashion. So maybe that'll happen for Arsenal this season as well. But they really needed to do what Liverpool did in the COVID year, which was win this by a country mile and just not let Manchester City eat into that 9-point lead. And they allowed them to do it in consecutive weeks. And for me, Manchester City are certs to win the Premier League at this point.
Okay, but they do spend a lot more money than anybody else, don't they?
Well, the wage bill is certainly a big difference between the two sides. People will point to the massive amounts of money that Arsenal have spent over the past number of windows. Haven't spent as much in the last 12 months, to be fair, but they have spent a lot to get themselves into this position. But the wage bill will be different. I know Liverpool, a report came out recently, do have the highest wage bill in the Premier League. And that usually is the greatest, most accurate signpost for success in the Premier League. How much are you actually paying your players? Manchester City fans will hold up the fact that they got Erling Haaland for a cheap fee and they didn't spend that much money on him. I'd like to see the wages that Erling Haaland is on and put that as a total with regards to how much they're actually paying their players.
Spurs fans didn't even have much time to like point and laugh at Arsenal yesterday because they were so worried about relegation. They're really close now, aren't they?
They are. Tonight's actually a crucial game for them. It's Crystal Palace versus West Ham at 8 p.m. and if West Ham win that game, then they'll open up a 4-point gap on Tottenham. But West Ham have been playing really well recently and I wouldn't be surprised at all if they won. The only thing that maybe goes in Spurs' favour in terms of a little bit of luck going their way is that we're in, what, the 20th of April at this point. 5 games left to play, and I know I've been making this point in the show every week. All 20 teams in the Premier League have something to play for still. Like whether it's Newcastle United, who are one of the last teams who can go for the European spots, or Leeds United, who still aren't mathematically safe. That will change this weekend when Wolves will get relegated and they're playing Tottenham Hotspur this weekend. So Wolves are gone, really. They're the team you want to be playing. If you had to pick one fixture right now, it would have to be Wolves, and Tottenham do have them on Saturday. And it's away from home. I think Tottenham are possibly, they have a better chance of winning games away from home at the moment. That stadium looks like a pretty nervous environment. So it's not done yet. Even if West Ham win tonight, it is not done yet. But God, it seems that when we talk about luck, nothing is going their way, particularly after the late goal they conceded against Brighton on Saturday.
Okay, we'll move on because we've got lots to touch on. Troy Parrott, I mean, disappointment with Ireland, but he had a great weekend, didn't he?
He did. The first trophy of his senior career, they won the Dutch Cup final, AZ Alkmaar. They beat NEC Nijmegen 5-1 yesterday. Parrott got a goal, he got an assist, he scored the fifth of the 5 goals yesterday. And crucially for AZ Alkmaar, they now qualify for the Europa League next season. They were playing Conference League football this season. I suspect Troy will probably be on the move this summer. I'm not sure whether it'll be to a bigger Dutch club, whether it'll be to Germany or Italy. I suspect he probably won't come back to England at this stage of his career, given how well it's gone for him on the continent. But this is probably the final step for him to propel himself into the eyes of a bigger club around Europe.
Exciting times for him, and well deserved too. The women's Six Nations team, they won against Italy, so that comes off the back of the loss against England, so that'll help them.
Yeah, and they play France this weekend, which is a bit of a grudge match. Ireland were obviously heartbroken after losing to France last year in the World Cup quarterfinal. There was a biting incident in that game, which I think a lot of the Irish players have not quite forgotten. The star of the show on Saturday was Beavan Parsons. She's from Ballinasloe. This game was on in Galway. She scores a hat-trick. The game was over before half-time, but she's a superstar. Maybe she hasn't had her one signature game for Ireland just yet, even though everybody knows how good she is. That was certainly that for her. Also of note, 9,206 people came out to the Dexcom on Saturday. That is a record for an Ireland women's home game. So I guess there's a lot of hype now looking ahead to this weekend. And for what it's worth, Ireland had a bigger margin of victory at home to Italy than France did at home to Italy in week one. So these two teams are very evenly matched. It's on in Clermont this Saturday night. So that's a huge game. That defines the entire Six Nations for this Ireland side.
And our women footballers had their second win against Poland. So they're doing really well.
Yeah, this was huge for them really, just to ensure that they followed up midweek with a win, or at least to not get beaten. So it was Marissa Shiva with the goal who got them the 1-0 win against Poland on Saturday. And what this means now is that they'll have a much easier playoff route to the 2027 World Cup in Brazil. Had they finished bottom of this four-team table, they would have had the possibility of playing a League A team in the playoffs. Ireland aren't going to win this group. It's going to be France or the Netherlands who are going to qualify automatically. But Ireland will now finish third, almost certainly, in this group, which gives them a much clearer path. So, fingers crossed, it's looking good for back-to-back World Cup qualifications now.
OK, let's talk about the GAA. Congratulations to Kildare, who beat a team. We won't mention who the team is at the weekend. It was pretty close, actually.
Yeah.
It was pretty close. So we won't lose hope.
No, for sure. Yeah, at least we're only 5 points off Kildare at the weekend. And I know they're on the same side of the draw of the story that really has taken all the headlines, which is Westmeath Mead. So maybe you'll be happy enough to know that Laois aren't really being spoken about today. It's all focus is on Meath, really. Mm-hmm. And it's an interesting one because they're All-Ireland semi-finalists from last year. They're going to be playing Division 1 football next year. The expectation now for them is to come out on top on that side of the draw and to make a Leinster final at the very least. I know Louth beat them in the final last year, and I know they beat Dublin last year as well, but you'd have to, at worst, put them in the top three. So for them to lose to Westmeath yesterday in the fashion that they did is a really big setback for this Meath team. There's no getting away from that. Now, they are safe, obviously, in Sam Maguire, so they have 5 weeks to go away, lick their wounds and come back in an away fixture and try and resuscitate their season. It's hard to know exactly what happened yesterday. Westmeath had a game the previous week against Longford. I was listening to Mark McEwen off the ball yesterday, really hamming up this idea that pundits wrote them off during the week. He was talking about his team being in training until midnight on Thursday night, going through the game plan for yesterday. Mark McHugh, obviously quite a disciple of Jim McGuinness. Maybe he's the brains behind this Westmeath team. He's in there in his first year, so that could be a big factor in why they did what they did yesterday. So
I love this time of the year, though, when these storylines start to emerge that you could never have predicted, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's the wonder of the provincial championship, and the provincial championships have just done an about turn on themselves, and the Leinster in particular has been really engrossing so far this year. Like the Dublin Wicklow game yesterday, another great example. By all accounts, from what I could see in the highlights package, it was a great game. Obviously, these games weren't available to watch yesterday. I think in this day and age, every single championship game should be available to watch for free or for a payment. The fact that you had to be at that game yesterday to see it, when there would have been massive neutral interest in Dublin versus Wicklow in the second half in particular.
Certainly would.
But Dublin did scrape by. They've got a fresh list of injuries. Conor Callan, I think, picked up another injury yesterday. They were down to 14 men for the closing stages of that game and really spared their blushes against Wicklow yesterday afternoon as well. But Ockram, to use that cliche, tough place to go. Fortress Ockram really came out in force again yesterday, but Dublin just about survived. So they're going to be up against Louth in one semi-final. And then, as mentioned, it's going to be Westmeath against Kildare. Now, Kildare are safe in Sam Maguire because they won the Talton Cup last year. So down are hanging on to their Sam Maguire credentials by their fingernails. They need Kildare to beat Westmeath in this semi-final to ensure they'll be in the top 16 this year. Otherwise, they'll need to get to an Ulster final, which, as everybody knows, is a much tougher path for a team like Down to carve out than in other provinces.
And of course, we have to mention the Cork beat Tip and people saying, oh, they've exercised the demons of last year's All-Ireland final against Tip. But there's just such a long way to go. I don't think you can say that with confidence, do you?
No, the only thing I would say is that it just puts a dent in Tipperary's chances of getting out of Munster. They might have exercised Tipperary and got rid of them entirely, because you have to win your home games, really, to ensure that you're in a good spot in the Munster Hurling Championship. With Clare's win yesterday and with Limerick, the All-Ireland favourites in most people's eyes, Tipperary have a lot of work to do to actually get out of Munster. For Cork, there's a couple of things. I think it was really important that they came out after half-time yesterday and played really well, because the third quarter last year killed them. Whatever was said in that dressing room by Liam Cahill in Croke Park last July.
We don't know,
but there was a lot of heat. In terms of score from play, this is a pretty stark statistic. The final tally was Cork 22 points, Tipperary 1-9. So other than freeze, if you take them out of the game, it was a bit of a drubbing. And then a couple of new faces. William Buckley scored 6 points, got man of the match. Barry Walsh scored 4 points. They don't need to exercise any demons. They weren't there last year. They've come in this year and they look to be new key components of this Ben O'Connor team. So Cork looking good. I think they'll be a little bit happier about themselves after yesterday. And getting a win away from home against the reigning All-Ireland champions in the Munster Hurling Championship is a massive result.
Owen, thank you so much. That's Owen Sheehan from Off the Ball, which is on at 7. And Owen will be back with us again on Friday.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.